You're listening to the audiobook version of Christians on the Front Lines of the Culture Wars by T.M. Moore. Copyright 2014 by T.M. Moore, published by Wax Tablet Publications of Essex Junction, Vermont. The Introduction. Confronted with a question regarding the payment of taxes, Jesus laid down a fundamental principle concerning the relationship of human beings and their institutions to the divine economy, Matthew 22, verses 15 through 22. He made two important points. First, human governments are legitimate according to the good purposes of God, and for that reason, should they require taxes in order to fulfill their calling, we must be prepared to pay. The Apostle Paul would make the same point a little later on, Romans 13, verses 1 through 7, as would the Apostle Peter, 1 Peter 2, verse 17. The second point Jesus made concerns the relationship of men to God. Just as there are things we owe to Caesar, which we must be prepared to render, there are things we owe to God, and he requires them of us as surely as the government requires our taxes. Both these points Jesus was able to make by holding up a coin, an artifact of culture, and commenting on the meaning embedded in it. In so doing, he put us on notice that even the humblest of everyday cultural artifacts possesses a wellspring of potential for advancing the gospel of the kingdom. Meaning in a sofa. As another, rather more contemporary example, consider William Cooper's grand epic poem, The Task. Cooper, 1731 to 1800, was challenged by a friend with the daunting task of writing a poem about a sofa. Now, as a poet, I can assure you this is hardly an inspiring subject. We might think that given such a task, a poet could probably exhaust everything that could be said about a sofa in a sonnet of 14 lines. The task, however, glides along in perfect iambic pentameter blank verse for thousands and thousands of lines in a grand tour de force of creation, culture, and the glories of God to be experienced on every hand. Cooper had a single thought he wanted to convey, something like, "A sofa is a useful and delightful convenience, one of many of the joys and comforts provided by the manifold goodness of a loving God." However, he wanted to make that point with great emphasis, so he positioned his object in a poetic statement of Christian worldview that is without peer in the world of Christian verse. Beginning with a meditation on the history, character, and use of the sofa, Cooper branched out into a sweeping survey of the advantages and benefits of country life, remarking the presence of God and his many gifts to humble people of all sorts. Along the way, he celebrated the glories of honest work, marveled at the diverse people who populate a country village, frowned upon the evils of city living, chided parsons who do not take seriously the task of preaching, and wondered at the intricate beauty of clocks, the nobility of patriotism, and the proper place of governments, armies, and newspapers. All this he set in a context of the sovereign rule of God, who, out of the enormity of his grace, provides men with even the humblest of everyday comforts and delights, among them, sofas. A meaningful world. These two examples, Jesus and Caesar's coin, and Cooper and the sofa, serve to remind us that every believer in Jesus Christ, no matter his station in life or maturity in the gospel, is necessarily, inescapably, and indispensably involved in culture, and that the culture he engages is fraught with vast potential for drawing out the presence of God and advancing the knowledge of his glory. This is because the entire universe is meaningful. The universe, rather than being devoid of meaning, is, like a great work of art, full to overflowing with meaning. Complex, integrated, and intelligible order, rather than senseless piles of gibberish. Contra nihilism, the universe has more meaning than we can imagine. Layers of meaning. The world is charged with the grandeur of God, as Hopkins declared, yet sinful men, lacking faith in Him, too often fail to notice the revelation of God which He has embedded in the things of creation. God is revealing His glory, hidden in all created things. But only those who possess the mind of the King of Glory will be able to discern and declare His glory to the world. Proverbs 25, verse 2. To the Christian falls the task of making the glory of God known throughout the whole creation. Habakkuk 2:14. Believers are called to serve, as I have elsewhere argued, as docents of glory in a grand and overpowering exhibit hall where the glory of God awaits our discovery and explication on every hand. The Apostle Paul reminded us in 1 Corinthians 10:31, a text to which we will return in due course, that even the most mundane of everyday activities is available to aid us in our task of filling the earth with the knowledge of God and His glory. If even such mundane everyday activities as eating and drinking can provide opportunities to surface and refract the glory of God, which is hidden throughout all creation and culture, then surely every believer must seriously consider the possibilities afforded to him every day, on the front lines of the so-called culture wars, for bringing to light the beauty, majesty, wisdom, love, decency, goodness, truth, whimsy, and power of the living God. As Robert Banks insists, quote, "In the world of family, work, and civic life outside the church gatherings, it is ordinary believers who play the primary role in bringing a Christian perspective and way of life to bear upon its largely different worldview and values." End quote. I want to thank my wife Susie for her careful reading and editing of this manuscript and for her many helpful suggestions for improving the text. It is to encourage similar diligence, care, and excellence in the happy and fruitful embrace of the high calling of living our everyday lives to the glory of God, that these pages are dedicated.